112. Psalm 112. Reading at verse 1. The fear of the Lord, commandments. Verse 5. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established, he shall not be afraid until he sees desire upon his enemies. The book of Malachi plays in chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, and reading verse number 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him, for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. The Acts of the Apostles, please, in chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And reading verse number 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, that is the Apostle Paul, and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now Paul's letter to the Philippians, please, in chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and reading at verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. Verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. 1 Thessalonians for a final reading, and chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and reading at verse number 15, For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And that is our reading of the Holy Scriptures and of the Lord's blessing. I am very conscious that I have read as much Scripture this evening as could keep many a man in ministry of the Word for possibly 1 week. But I want to assure you that what I have in mind is very simple, and would like to try and speak a little word that may prove to be a blessing and a help and an encouragement to all the Lord's dear people at the close of our conference meeting today. Very much has already been brought before us concerning the person of our Lord Jesus Christ and rightly so. Those who have been following the readings will easily have noticed that in each of the five scriptures read, we have got direct reference made to the Lord. No greater person can we be occupied with than the person of the Lord Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven, who went all the way to the cross, and who bore the burden to Calvary and took our place in death and judgment upon the tree. I have read, first of all, and I was encouraged by our brother who spoke last evening. It may have been our brother Kimber, I'm not sure of these names. But he did bring before us a little concerning Barnabas, a good man. And I want to speak a little of some features that mark the people of God associated with the Lord. First one I want us to see is this, that we are reminded from Psalm 112, that a good man is one who is trusting in the Lord. I think that's a very beautiful little word. A good man trusting in the Lord. Our Bible does remind us of three good men. Ahimaaz was a good man. Joseph of Arimathea was a good man. Barnabas, that we were reminded about yesterday evening, was a good man. And it was said of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is a good man. But here we have the child of God, I want to look at it, a good man trusting in the Lord. Now, my dear brethren and sisters in Canada this evening, you and I have been brought into blessings untold, Ephesians chapter 1, blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. When did these blessings become ours? And when did we come into the good of them? Each one of us look back to a time when we wandered alone in the darkness. Not a ray of light could we see. The thought filled our heart with sadness. There's no hope for a sinner like me. We may well have been allowed to live and die in our sin and be lost forever under the judgment of God. But have we not been reminded already this afternoon on the words of the poet, O blessed Lord, how kind are all thy ways to me. There came that moment in our experience when we simply put our trust on the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not a one of us going to heaven this afternoon can boast on anything that we have either said or done. We are going to heaven simply because we are trusting in the Lord, trusting in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think this little word, trusting, is a very beautiful little word. And as far as I can gather, this is the only time it is mentioned in our Bible. I know you will have the word trust, you will have the word trusteth, and so on. But a good man is trusting in the Lord. Each one of us this afternoon can rightly take up the words of the poet and say, I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only thee. Trusting in the Lord for our salvation. And we can take up the words of the prophet when he said, Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. But we are not only a people trusting in the Lord for salvation and deliverance from coming storms of judgment, but dear brethren and sisters, I trust that all of us are a people that are marked by the fact that we are trusting in the Lord for every blessing that we presently enjoy. No man can live to himself. We are entirely trusting in the Lord. I have thought over this in the past few days. We are trusting in the Lord for our preservation as we make our way home to heaven. And I'll say a little word about that in a moment or so. We are trusting in the Lord not only for preservation spiritually, but also physically as we move on dangerous roads and so on. Furthermore, we are trusting in the Lord for our employment, for our food, for the clothes we wear, for all the material blessings that the great God of heaven has allowed to come our way. We are trusting in the Lord. And as a people this evening, whether from the land of Ireland or from the land of Canada or any other country represented today, I trust that that as the world and as the city of Toronto look upon us, that they will see and know that there is a people, and what marks them is this, they are trusting in the Lord. A great truth, trusting in the Lord. My second little thought is from Malachi chapter 3, when the prophet writing here said, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another." You know, I was almost afraid to read this verse after what Mr. Crawford has been bringing before us, and I endorse what he stated regarding that. Not only have we a people who have got a fear of the Lord, but there is something very precious to them. They are thinking upon His name. Dear brethren and sisters this evening, how good it is that you and I are associated with the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is through His name that we have got forgiveness of sins, and we are gathered alone to that precious name in assembly fellowship. And often do we think upon His name, and I leave it by quoting the words, "There is a name I love to hear. I love to speak its word. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth." And were we not reminded in this conference from 1 Peter chapter 1, "Unto you therefore which believe, He is the precious one." For the fear of the Lord, now this is not a fear of condemnation, of wrath and judgment of God, but I believe it is a godly fear that is begotten within the soul upon conversion, a fear of the Lord. And I want to look at that. The first thought, trusting in the Lord, brought about our salvation. A fear of the Lord is a preservation, and it will preserve me from going places where I should not be. It will preserve me from saying things I should not say, and it will preserve me from doing things that I should not do. A fear of the Lord. And I trust that each one of us present in this gathering have got a fear of the Lord within our soul, a godly fear lest we should bring dishonor upon His name, that our cry would be continually in the words of the psalmist when he said, "Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust." The world is against us, and the flesh is very busy, and the devil himself, he is going about as a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. But I believe that the child of God, living in the fear of the Lord, and joying in the God of his salvation, will be preserved on the pilgrim pathway home to heaven. Now, none of us have reached the end of the journey yet. We appreciate and we admire all our aged brethren and sisters who are now at home with the Lord, and who have left behind an excellent testimony. Their little day of service is over and past. But you and I are still in the pilgrim journey, and I trust that we are like these that Malachi spoke about when he said, "Then they that fear the Lord." And as the world would look upon us, that they will see that there are a people, and they're not only trusting in the Lord, but they have got a fear of the Lord within their soul. I want to come very quickly to Acts chapter 20, and again these are very solemn, yet very precious truths brought before us. The Apostle Paul has now called for the elders of the church. He has brought them together, and he is telling them of how that he has worked, and in doing so he says, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind." Now, dear brethren and sisters, I trust that from this conference gathering today, and in the day that has passed, that each one of us will be marked with a genuine desire, in the words of the Apostle Paul, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" The hymn writer has rightly penned the words, "Let none hear you idly say, there is naught that I can do." Now, as I have spent the last 2 days in your company, I am very thankful to the Lord to see what the grace of God has worked in this country. To God be all the glory. But I am very conscious equally so that our dear brethren who have labored in this land, and sisters likewise in their sphere, have labored for God, and have had the great joy of seeing men and women gathered in, saved and bound up in the bundle of life and on the road to heaven. But now let us all remember that the Thessalonians, they turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. So I trust that all of us today are exercised before the Lord. Am I serving the Lord as well as I can do? As far as this figure is concerned, I have got to acknowledge all the years of sinning wasted. Could I but recall them now, I would gladly give them all to Jesus, to his will. I gladly bow. I'm not very well known to some of our brethren behind me, but this I am going to say, and I think they will all agree with me. There is not a one of us would acknowledge that we are not serving possibly as well as we should have done or could have done. We have missed opportunities in serving the Lord. They are gone, but let us from today onwards think of the words of the Apostle, serving the Lord with all humility, not serving the brethren, not serving the preachers, and not serving any organization or any committee of men. But in fellowship with the local assembly wherein I am planted, I am serving the Lord. Now that could lead me into a very big subject that I don't want to get into this evening. But I would say this, I believe that all work, whether done individually or collectively by our brethren and sisters, it should be done in fellowship with the local assembly with which I am associated with. You know, my brethren in Bellarmine today, they know where I am. And if you were asking them where I am, they can tell you that I am gone. They know where I have been in the months and in the years that are past, doing all my work in fellowship with the local assembly with which I be associated with, serving the Lord, trusting in the Lord, a fear of the Lord, and a people who are serving the Lord. Now I want to say something just in passing. I trust my brethren will agree with me afterwards, and if not, I'm open for correction. I believe that in the great subject of what we are reminded about this afternoon, the Bible reading, the breaking of bread, the coming together to remember our Lord, I want to say as part of the service that the Lord's people can do. For said the Apostle Paul, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And as we are gathered as a company of saints, sitting down to remember the Lord, I believe it gives the world, a perishing world, an opportunity of seeing, of concerning the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now very quickly, we come to Philippians chapter 3, and I want us to think of these beautiful words, from whence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear brethren and sisters, this afternoon, a people trusting in the Lord, and a people who fear the Lord, and a people who are serving the Lord. But also, I want us to remember that we are a people that are living in expectation of the Lord's return. The world knows nothing about this today, but you and I have got a blessed hope. And said the Apostle writing to Timothy, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. I trust that all of us keep in mind today that in a world of trial and trouble and perplexity and discouragement and disappointment, and I think of those dear saints where war is raging in the present time, there's a hope for them. And what is that? They're looking from whence also we look for the Savior, our expectation as we travel home to glory. Now last of all, I want to come to my last little thought. I'm a very strong believer, you know, of keeping the tithe. I can tell you the reason why, if you want to know afterwards. We have read this evening very precious words, for I have read them over and over on many occasions, but it is only recently that I have noticed these words, to meet the Lord in the air. Dear brethren and sisters, do we ever stop to think about the meeting in the air? Now, this is not a casual meeting. I have met with brethren and sisters in this conference that I never expected to meet, nor did I think they would be here so long. That is a casual meeting. But I want us to look at a meeting. What a moment when you and I will meet with our blessed Lord, the one who gave himself for ransom for our sin, the one who tasted death for every man, and who bore the judgment at Calvary, and who is now crowned with glory and honor at the Father's right hand. He's coming back, dear brethren and sisters. O child of God, there is for thee a hope that shines amid the gloom, a gladsome hope that thou shalt see thy Lord, for he will surely come to meet the Lord in the air. Either this word meet, I understand, is a very strong word. It's not a casual meeting, as already stated. It is one coming out at the appointed moment to call home his bride. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. The winter is past and the rain is over in God. And the child of God, every child of God, will respond to the shout. And I go, the time is gone, and I finish on this note. For not only are we going to meet with the Lord in the air, and let us ponder the great truth of meeting the Lord. We have met with many great men upon the scenes of time, not one of them to be compared with meeting the Lord himself. You know, I think on the two on the road to Emmaus, when he joined them there, how they must have felt when the Lord Jesus, when they met with him. When you and I meet with the blessed Savior, can we sing the words of this I finish? Oh, the blessed joy of meeting, all the desert past, oh, the wondrous words of greeting he shall speak at last. He and I together entering those bright courts above, he and I together sharing all the Savior's love. And closing, here we have a people, and as the world looks upon us, they can say they are not only expecting the Lord, but they are going to meet the Lord, and they're going to be with the Lord, and they're going to share the glories of heaven for all the ages that are to come. Dear brethren and sisters, let us lift up our heads, and as the meeting draws to a close this afternoon, that every one of us will leave the gathering with this in mind. Our Lord is coming back again, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. What a gathering that will be. The Lord bless his word, and bless his dear saints, and bless you all. And if there be an unsaved soul in the gathering today, that you might learn your great deed of salvation, and like the good man, trust in the Lord, and be saved, and fitted for a place in heaven.